Bibles over the first John. And we have made our way, now to chapter 2. Thank you, Juan. Chapter 2, verse 18. I'm going to read verse 18 to 21. We're biting this off in small segments, especially this segment because of the topic concerning the Antichrist. Follow along as I read, and we'll have a short word of prayer. John writes, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Let's pray. Father, oh, we need your Holy Spirit to enlighten and illuminate the truths that we read. For sometimes, Father, as we read that which is spiritual, our flesh gets in the way. Help us to be alive again in our spirit. And may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Hide me behind the cross that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, a nationwide survey concerning spiritual belief of adults suggests that Americans who consider themselves to be Christians have a wide, diverse set of beliefs. Now, that statement might not mean much to you, but as a pastor, I would think that if we're all studying the Bible, we would have pretty much the same belief, because the Bible is of no private interpretation. But of course, we make it of our own private interpretation. Survey was done by georgebarner.org. Brother George is a brother. I've met him a number of times. He really loves the Church of Christ, and he's saddened by what he sees and learns through many of these surveys. He is a professional at what he does. He has even incorporated over the last number of years, and many major organizations such as Disney World and others use his services because they are so very accurate. And so, having said that, he shows some of the diversity and the contradictions. One of them is this that ties in with what I want to talk to you about. He said 59% of Christians say that they believe Satan is not a true living being, but that he is a symbol of evil. Well, folks, if Satan is not a true created being, then we don't have to worry about the Antichrist, do we? But John really focuses on this character who will one day be empowered by Lucifer himself, just as Satan, Lucifer, indwelled Judas Iscariot. And we have that account written for us in the Bible. And he will one day arise on this planet and create all kind of havoc. Ironically, a majority of Christians also said that they believe that a person can be under the influence of spiritual forces such as demons. Now, that's kind of odd that we would have that contradiction. If you don't believe in Satan, how is it that you can believe in demons? He is Beelzebub. And the name Beelzebub means what? Prince of demons. These are the principalities and powers the Apostle Paul speaks about when he wrote to the church at Ephesus that we need to be mindful that we are in a warfare, a daily warfare with spiritual darkness And we see the contradiction. 64% of Christians agree that such influence is real. And in these last times, as John calls it, Satan is at work even influencing governments and nations. And Satan works by influencing the powers that be in government and nation. He is amassing right now a global front to prepare for the coming of the Antichrist, which will do his bidding. You know, demons have been politicking since the beginning and working closely with the fallen angels. In fact, you cannot read the book of Daniel without learning that. And learning that there is this spiritual warfare going on in the heavenlies between God's angelic beings who were faithful to Jehovah and those who followed Lucifer. These demons, they are under the power and under the dominion of Satan, who has all the qualities of the most hideous and evil person imaginable. And he is a person. He has a will. He has emotions. And we read that God created this person, this angelic being, as one of the highest of all of God's angels. Hallel was his name, translated from the Latin, the light bearer. He is a deceptive, deceitful, powerful enemy. And folks, this is not science fiction. You've got to do your best to separate what you learn from the Hollywood movies to what the Bible actually teaches. You know, the Apostle John warned the believers of his day that this enemy of God would one day come to deceive the world. He is the Antichrist. And my first point to this short passage is the question, who and what is he like? And there are many characteristics of the Antichrist. Verse 18, he says, little children, an endearing term. And I like it because in the eyes of the powerful angelic beings, we are like little children. He says it is the last time. You say, now how could it be the last time? This is the first century. Well, since Christ died and rose again, we have been living in the last days. In fact, the word there for last comes from the Greek word eschatos, where we get our English word eschatology. What is eschatology? It is the study of the last things or future events. The Bible is full of eschatology, the way things will be in the future. And as Christians, if we're students of the Word of God, we will know our eschatology. We will know the future better than anyone else. That's why when people begin to get full of anxiety over nuclear holocaust throughout the world, I know that's not true, because the Bible does not teach that. Certainly there will be chaos and destruction, the likes that the world have never seen. But we're not going to see a global proliferation of nuclear destruction. John here refers to an individual who has captured the imagination of many people, including those who don't even believe in the Bible. Many are ignorant about this individual called the Antichrist, except again for what they've learned from the movies, you know. And there have been many movies about the Antichrist. Some believe he's already here. And I don't argue that, because only God really knows that. But only John the Beloved, the one who was the nearest disciple to the Lord Jesus, calls this individual the Antichrist. He's the opposite of Christ, although he will present himself as a counterfeit Christ. That's the difficult thing. Because the world will look at this man as Jesus himself. He's a counterfeit. And a good counterfeit can be passed off as the real thing. How many of you ever had a counterfeit dollar? Well, usually they don't come in dollars. Genie. And if you work in retail, you come across these. I did many years ago before I became a pastor. I worked for the retail company called Vornado, which was actually two guys in other department stores. And we actually had to have seminars as managers to identify counterfeit money. And back in that day, it was look for the fibers. Genie, it's much more complicated now, isn't it? Yes. And they have the tools and the technology to make money in such a way it counterfeits the real thing. That's what I want you to understand about this person who is going to call himself the Christ. Jesus said that he will deceive many. Let him not deceive us. You say, oh, I thought we were going to be gone before the Antichrist. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the church is raptured before the what? Tribulation. He may be even now among us. We don't know for sure. God does, and we leave it there. Other biblical writers have used different terms to describe this diabolical person. Daniel referred to him as the prince who is to come in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. A most intriguing chapter of the Bible. In fact, Jesus alluded to the fact that if the Hebrew people had just known their scriptures, and the rabbis of his day would have known the scriptures, they would have known the time of his coming, because it was right there in the Bible, the time of the first coming of Christ. Paul called him the man of perdition. We find that in the book of 2 Thessalonians, or the man of lawlessness. John in Revelation 13 calls him the beast out of the sea. And Revelation chapter 17 describes him as a political and commercial genius. Now, will he be a genius? Well, he'll be a genius in the fact that he'll know how to use technology better than anybody else. And we are masking such technology now through computers. There are supercomputer warehouses. And woe be unto this world if he ever gets his hands on it. Because he will present himself to be God, because he'll have information so readily at his resources that he will fool and deceive the world. They should not deceive you. For no one knows what God knows, amen? No one has the power of omniscience like God. But Satan will want to prove to the world that he is. And there are some of us here who know a little bit about the technology of computers, like Brother Juan, and we discussed this, and it is frightening what is coming about. Even the mark of the beast may be here with us, the chip, the computer chip, that will have everything about your identity and your finances on it. Some are already taking the chip. Now, I'm not calling it the mark of the beast. Can't be the mark of the beast until the beast is here, right? So be careful about saying, oh, it's the mark of the beast. No, it's in its trial stages, and it could very well be the catalyst that leads to the mark of the beast. And we see what's happening in the world of economics, in the world of banking, and how our identities are being stolen on a regular basis through hacking. And it seems to me that the world is moving in the direction where they're going to be able to sell to us the concept of security by putting a chip in your hand or right here, as some of them are already doing. And eventually, the Bible says, the mark of the beast will even be placed in one's forehead. This is the diabolical individual that John is speaking about. The Antichrist will be a world dictator. He is already in the process, through the influence of Satan, in amassing a one world church. That's why it's important that we, as the Dover First Baptist Church, an independent Bible-believing church, do not fall prey to the sway to become part of ecumenicalism. I've been here, I started my 30th year, the 1st of October, and over the course of that time, I've had literal arguments and discussions and debate with not only ministers, but even some of our people, because they do not believe in getting us involved in the ecumenical movement. And I will hold fast to that. And I thank God for the churches who understand the wooing that's happening. We're already seeing that the influencers are trying to pull the world into a global market, into a one world government. And the United States of America has thrown a monkey wrench into that after the election of Donald Trump. Say what you will about him. He is doing some things that fall in line to what we believe. And the world doesn't like it because they want to see a one world government come about. You know, if you read your Bible, you'll find that God's not interested in a one world government. In fact, during the time of the book of Genesis, which covers a large period of time, man began to construct what was called eventually the Tower of Babel, because there God caused confusion. That's why it's called the Tower of Babel. Because in that particular time, man came together and tried to establish a one-world government and establish it against Almighty God. God destroyed that. And so I want you, as we get into this little passage, to understand a little bit more about who John is talking about. He will be a supernatural genius because of the ability that he will have supernaturally, but also because he'll know how to use all of the resources available to him. He will be able to think, to plan, to act, to respond to situations quicker and more effectively than anyone else. And by the way, the world right now is looking for a Superman, right? I mean, the world is looking for someone who could come to the world scene and solve the problems that are wreaking this planet. We are living in unprecedented times. And he will come as the Superman of the human race. He will promise peace to the Middle East. Something that has not been done over the course of thousands of years. And in the century that we live, there has been a greater emphasis to bring peace to the Middle East. But it has always fallen apart. But this individual will foster a peace. The Bible does speak about that. He will sign a 7-year treaty with the nation of Israel, saying, "We will protect your borders." Because one of the things that Israel fights with right now is having secure borders. Being able to exist as a sovereign nation with an indigenous people. And he will come along and he will promise that he will protect them. And unfortunately, they will be duped into signing that treaty. The Bible records that this man of sin, the son of perdition, is the Antichrist. I want you to take your Bible, keep your finger there in 1 John, and I want you to go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm looking at verse 4. Paul's describing this individual. Verse 3, he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." And folks, if you're studying your Bible and you're coming to church and you're sitting under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will not be deceived. It's the Holy Spirit that's helping to illuminate truth to you. It's the same Holy Spirit that has sealed you to the day of your redemption and will guide you into all truth. That's His ministry. John chapter 14 through 16. He says that, for that day shall not come except there shall be a falling away first. We're already seeing this. Churches all across this nation are losing membership. And many are falling away into heresy and into other religions that do not glorify Jehovah God. In fact, they exalt a man and not the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It says that this man is a man of sin. He is the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It's called the abomination of desolation. It will happen after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, where this man will sit in the very holy of holies and declare that he is God. We can truly see that he will be empowered by Satan, by Lucifer, who once said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will be like the Most High." That was his sin, the sin of pride, the sin of covetousness. It's recorded in Isaiah 14, verse 13 through 14. Here is Satan's attempt to fulfill prideful rebellion against God in the last days. You know, he was kicked out of heaven with 1/3 of all of the angels because of his rebellion against Jehovah God in the days which God created Adam and Eve. He does not, the Bible tells us, regard the desire of women. This is recorded in Daniel 11 about the Antichrist in verse 36 and 37. It is very possible, especially in the day which we live, that he could rise on the scene as one who is a homosexual. And of course, we know that homosexuality is tolerated more and more as an accepted alternate lifestyle. And so perhaps because of this, Satan is paving the way for the Antichrist. We know that he is a liar. He is a deceiver. So how do we know that? Because Jesus called him that. Now, don't you call people liar and deceiver, but Jesus can, amen? So where's that at, John 8:44? He's a murderer too, Jesus said. In Matthew 24 and verse 24, Jesus said, "For there shall arise false Christ." He will be the ultimate false Christ. In fact, there have been many false messiahs. In fact, the Jews are laden with false messiahs. Even during the time of Jesus, there were false messiahs, and they led many Jewish rebels to their death against the Romans. But Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of what? This earth." He did not lead a revolution against the Romans, because one day, without lifting up one earthly weapon, Jesus Christ will rule the world. And he'll bring his church to rule with him. Jesus said, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." Yes, the Antichrist will have his sidekick. In the book of Revelation, he's known as the false prophet. He will be the one who will bring about this one world church. However, John's real concern, as we try to finish up this one verse, and I'm going to try to move quickly through the rest, as we look at verse 18 of 1 John, he is not as overly concerned about this individual, because John does not know, nor do we, the exact time of his coming. He says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come." And we've covered that and who he is. But he says this, kind of makes a qualifying statement after he talks about this individual. And I've given you just a little bit of a summary of who he is and what he will do and how powerful he will be. But John says to the church, he says, listen, even now are there many antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. They came after the coming of Christ, and now they present themselves as Christ. John is concerned. The many antichrists is a reference to the Gnostics. These Gnostic teachers that were beginning to undermine biblical Christianity near the end of the first century. And we talked about that when we came to the first chapter. And so there is a spirit of antichrist. And this spirit of antichrist will one day find its ultimate fulfillment in the antichrist, who will eventually be empowered by Satan himself. Characteristics are given to us by John of a false Christianity. Just as there will be a false Christ, there is, even working among us now, false Christianity. And that's what John is talking about in verse 19. He's talking about these who claim to be true, born again Christians. They went out from us, but they were not what? Of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The spirit of Antichrist is working, and many people are being deceived by their false teachings. Christianity, you know, is under attack like never before. In fact, it probably is one of the most persecuted faiths in the world, especially abroad. And Judaism is right next to it. And we're seeing it even here in the United States. John gives at least three characteristics of counterfeit Christianity in these verses. I'm going to be quick. It's easy to remember because they all begin with D, like the devil. Departure. As we've seen in verse 19, they have departed from fellowship. Be careful if you're Christian, putting all of your eggs, as it were, in the basket of the fellowship of the world. Because remember that Jesus said that if you have a friendship with the world, that you're an enemy with Him. Now that's not to say we don't have friends in the world. What we're talking about is, where is your joy coming from? Is it fellowship with the world or with God's people? Yesterday was a perfect example. So many of you chose to be with God's people at the picnic, out there in God's nature. And it was a beautiful thing. We didn't have to worry about foolish jesting and people putting us down, because we are called to lift each other up. I remember living in the world many, many, many years ago. And one thing I didn't like about it, even in the church that I attended, is that I was always being put down. Now, I, of course, gave him a lot to put me down about, being short, not being so smart, and so many other things. But you can come to the house of God and to a church of true born-again believers, never once have someone attack you in that way. Praise God for His church. Departure is one of the things that is going to happen before Christ comes. We're seeing it already. Then there's denial. They deny the faith. And we'll get into this in a little bit more detail next week as we look at verses 21 through 22. One of the chief characteristics of a cult is the denial or the depreciation of the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know that even some good churches today, and when I say good churches, is they have a good fellowship. They teach the Bible, but they dilute the person of Jesus Christ and they elevate the Holy Spirit. You say, well, the Holy Spirit is God. Yes, He is. But we need to be very careful and be good students of the Word of God, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come. He will never speak of Himself. And what do we have in church after church after church? Oh, look what the Holy Spirit has done. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to bring to your remembrance all that Jesus has done. That's how you'll know if you're in a good church. The Holy Spirit is to illuminate the truth of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is to illuminate the work of Jesus Christ. See, I never do that. Well, go home and read, prayerfully read John 14, John 15, John 16, because Jesus tells His apostles, His disciples, that I cannot leave until the Paraclete comes, the one who comes alongside, and He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself. We need to get this stuff right. That's why we're losing so many people. Because they're going out there into the world of that which is fanatical. They're going out there into the world, into churches, and being entertained and not really learning the Word of God. So there's departure, there's denial, there's deception. They deceive the faithful. Jump down to verse 26. He says, I have written unto you concerning them that, what's that word? Seduce you. Again, I'm not going to take a lot of time because we're going to come to this. But I want to point out that these are the three things that are characteristic of false Christianity. You need to know who the Antichrist is, the false Antichrist, but you also need to be able to identify counterfeit Christianity. In verse 20, and we're going to close quickly, we have the characteristics of true Christianity. John says, but you, or ye, it's the same thing, have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Who is the unction from the Holy One? If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just go there quickly. 2 Corinthians, the second letter written to the church of Corinth. We know that this person is Christ. Now, He which established us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. True Christianity elevates the Son of God. Now the Holy Spirit is our supernatural resident teacher who will guide us into all truth, as I said. And so when we hear false teaching, the Holy Spirit will convey to our spirit, this is not the truth of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit anoints us by guiding us into truth and away from lies. John 16, verse 13, 14. And so this is a characteristic of true Christianity. And then John concludes this section and says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is in the truth. You know the truth. So apply the truth. But the problems we're having with Christianity today is Christians have been educated according to the Word of God and they're out there buying what the evil market is selling. Know the truth. Stay with the truth. I conclude with what Jesus said. He said that His Father, who is our God, is a spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Real Christianity is characterized by abiding in the Word of God. Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God. And one of the reasons why so many professions are falling. When I say that, I'm talking about those professing Christianity are being deceived, is that they do not stay true to the Word of God. We must stay true to God's Word. Jesus said, if we abide in Him, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's have every head bowed. Let's close our eyes. Let's do business with God. Are we abiding in the truth or are we allowing deception to take over our hearts? If you're a Christian, you know the truth. John says you know the truth. The Holy Spirit's in you. You know the truth. Don't sell out to deceptive, seducing. You know what seducing means? To be seduced into something because you're giving way to your flesh or to your pride. Or to the lust of your eye, what we talked about last time. Now, if you're here today, and you cannot honestly say, if I die today, I'm going into the very presence of God, into eternal home in heaven. I want you to know that God has an eternal heaven, an eternal home for you in heaven. First, you need to admit that there is a heaven. And then you need to admit that God has prepared the way for you to get there. You can't do it yourself. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a what? Gift of God. Lest any man should boast. Have you accepted the gift of God? Now, how do I do that, Pastor? Will you just humble yourself this morning? Will you just do that before a holy God? Say, oh God, as I look into your word, I see your holiness. I know of your holiness even through the preaching today. And I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And that I realize there's nothing I could do to save myself. I call upon you right now, oh God, to save me, a sinner. It's all the publican said. And Jesus said he went away righteous. He struck upon his heart and he said, oh God, forgive me, a sinner. Won't you say that? And recognize that God put all your sin on Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Allowed him to take the pain and the punishment for all of your sin, past, present, and future. And God allowed him to go to the grave. But Jesus rose from the dead. If he did not rise, you would not be justified. He justified in the eyes of God that he paid for the penalty of your sin. Oh, Father, save that soul that may be here today at Dover First Baptist, closest to the gate of hell. Snatch them in this hour. May they know of your love, your unconditional love, that you placed Christ on the cross for them. And then finally, we who know you in a personal way, God, get us back to your word that will not be deceived by what is to come, will not be seduced, will not, Father, come to the place where we make a decision to go into the devil's camp. Keep us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.